This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, filling in today for Earl Robinson, who had a couple days off this week. Scott Moore was in yesterday, did a fine job. I heard a little bit of that show yesterday, and Scott will be on the air tonight as the Michigan State hockey team begins a two-game home series with the Ohio State Buckeyes tonight at Munn Ice Arena at 8 o'clock, and then Saturday at 6 o'clock are the face-offs for those two games. Coming up a little bit later in today's show at 1:40, we'll touch base with the head coach of the Michigan State hockey team, Tom Anastas, and we will talk to him about his team. They are coming off a week off, so we'll see how that affected them, how they came back, and maybe how he expects them to play tonight and going on with the rest of the season. We'll also get some of his thoughts on this nasty NHL lockout that is still ongoing right now. Coming up today at 1:20 as well, as we told you in our intro, we're going to talk with college basketball writer Mike DeCourcy, actually the newly named Hall of Famer. He was just recently named to the College Basketball Writers Hall of Fame, so we will congratulate him on that and get his take on Michigan State for sure. And the rest of the Big Ten, as we get ready to wrap up the non-conference season, we're getting ready to enter the month of December, and that means getting toward the end of your non-conference schedule and then getting into the conference season as well. So if you're interested in talking to us today, anything that's going on in your sports world, now is probably the best time to do it before we get to our two guests. And you can do that by calling us toll-free at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. And when you call in, you'll be talking to Alex. He's on the other side of the glass producing today's show. I want to say a quick good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you as well. Of course, I know you're just slowly getting over a little bit of sickness, but there's a lot of sickness when it comes to some of these teams in Detroit and even Michigan State.
Things have been, they haven't been great for sports fans in the state of Michigan lately. You want to go all the way back to the Tigers in the fall. And then, you know, both Michigan and Michigan State's football teams, I think when you look at how their seasons ended compared to last year, you know, Michigan in a BCS game, double-digit wins, Michigan State, 11 wins for a second straight year, winning a bowl game, high expectations. Neither one of those two teams really were able to match what they did the previous year. You've got the Lions, who you got a lot of people who are starting to talk one-year wonder, and right now it looks like, yeah, I mean, they played well enough to get themselves into a playoff for one season. But if you look at the NFL, a lot of things change each and every year, and there aren't many teams that are able to make the playoffs 2 years in a row. I think the percentage is only like 35% or 40% of the playoff teams the year before are able to make it the next year, unless you're the New England Patriots. Then you win the division every year and you make it. But anyway, they're the exception to the rule. But everybody else seems to struggle to make the playoffs 2 years in a row. No Red Wing hockey and the Pistons. I have no interest. I wish I could say I did, but I really don't. So
they've been looking a little better lately, though. You got to give them credit for that.
It's all relative. Looking better than what? Their self during the first 2 weeks of the season, which was a step above, you know, the guys I played ball with at noon yesterday. I mean, you know, give me a break. They're not a good basketball team. They are a young basketball team who will probably get better during the year. But they're not one of the better teams in the NBA, and they won't be one of the better teams in the NBA this year, next year, maybe 2 years. We'll see what they can do in the draft and free agency. And I know they've got a bunch of money to spend for next year, but how many times have we seen in professional sports teams go out and spend, and that does not always equate to victories. And we'll have to see what the Pistons do in the offseason. We should mention as well that the Michigan State women's basketball team had a really nice win last night. Clarissa Bell, the East Lansing grad, had a career-high 21 points for the Spartans in a 68-51 win over North Carolina State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Michigan State now 6-0 on the season, and they matched the best start to their season since 2008 and 2009. They will look to make it 7-0 when they host Wisconsin-Milwaukee. That game, of course, 4 o'clock tomorrow at the Breslin Center. Another men's and women's doubleheader tomorrow at the Breslin Center. The men welcoming in Nicholls State, and that will tip at noon. And then the women will play at 4 o'clock. Let's go out to our phone lines real quick and check in with Mike, who's joining us this morning from Saginaw. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right there. What's... I got a good question to ask you. It was a couple weeks ago where the guy scored 138 points in a college basketball game.
Division III, yes, sir.
Division III. And I just want to know how coach is going to look at that and explain to their players, this is not the way to do it or whatever. How would you explain it? How could you explain something like that to your callers?
How can I want to know how I can explain it to my son and daughter who watch it on SportsCenter and say, Daddy, how could somebody score 138 points in a game? Mm-hmm. I didn't score 138 points in my four-year career.
Okay.
Look, it was a guy trying to get a kid a record. He let him shoot all day. I don't think anybody in the basketball world thinks that's a good way to play. They got off a ton of shots. There was no defense. For me, it's inexcusable, but I don't get to make those decisions. It's done and over with.
I know they showed him scoring a lot of baskets, but did they show the floor of the game? Did they show on most highlights, they always show the guys a dunking or scoring three-pointers. Or scoring, and they don't show hardly any defense or block. They'll show a block shot when it's dramatic, or they'll show a fancy move when an offensive player makes it. But a defensive player, they only show it in the highlights if they're trying to embarrass the offensive player. So I just couldn't fathom that somebody would score that many points, and that, you know, all the coaches now, they teach them more team concept things and everything, and I just couldn't fathom that. Here's another question I'd like to ask you, too, is football season, like the NFL always have these ebbs and flows and everything.
Yep.
And I just think that football rosters, they need to increase the football rosters just for this purpose alone, because a lot of the players are always getting hurt in the middle of the season, and they always have injuries, especially the skill guys, like the quarterbacks. Like in the last 3 weeks, you see more quarterbacks with concussions than it always happens, like in the middle of the season, like in November or and then they just get their second win to come back. So what's your impression on that one? And thanks for taking my call.
All right, no problem. We appreciate the phone call today. Baseball does that. Baseball, Mike, increases their rosters at the end of the season. You always hear of these September call-ups. And that's always important for young guys to be a part of the roster. It's an interesting concept that you're able to expand your roster, in baseball's case, at the end of the year. I don't know when you do it in football, if you would, would you expand to 60? It would be good for the players. I think the Players Association would probably be for it. Now, if each team expands by 6 or 7 players, that's a bunch more jobs for the teams, for the players to have. And I think they would be all for that. You could move guys from your practice squad up. They'd be getting paid, and you could, fill those spots with other guys on your practice squad. So, it's an interesting concept. And, I don't know if you or I have the power to float that to DeMar Smith and the NHL Players, NFL Players Association, but you never know. You never know what might happen. But that is an interesting thought of expanding those rosters a little bit as well. All right, we mentioned the Michigan State women's basketball team and their big win last night at North Carolina State. And we mentioned, again, that they will be playing again Saturday at the Breslin Center, 4 o'clock, when they host Milwaukee. The men, of course, playing Nicholls State at noon. We should also remind you, I know Kathy George was on the show yesterday, the Michigan State volleyball team in action, 8:30 tonight out in Los Angeles in the NCAA tournament. First round, they'll be facing San Diego. Again, that game starts at 8:30. The Spartans 23-9, tied for sixth in the Big Ten. San Diego 21-6 on the year. They share the West Coast Conference Championship with BYU, and there is a free video stream online. If you go to msuspartans.com, click on volleyball, they'll take you to that free stream. It's a Pac-12 live stream, and it's hosted, of course, by UCLA. If the Spartans were to win tonight, they would probably play UCLA in the second round since they are the highest-seeded team in that four-team bracket. So we'll keep our eyes on the Michigan State volleyball team tonight and keep track and see if they can get into the second round of the NCAA tournament. I know that it's been mentioned before that the girls' basketball season for high school players underway in the state of Michigan. The boys' season actually tips off for some teams on Monday, most of them on Tuesday. But there is a premier game in the state of Michigan as far as girls basketball is concerned, and it's right here in this area when East Lansing and Waverly tip off tonight. East Lansing has just been so steady in conference play, made it to the quarterfinals last year before losing in overtime to eventual state champion Grand Haven, and the Trojans are at full force again this year. Head coach Rob Smith will have his team ready to go, so that's something to look out here locally as well. All right, 355-9527 if you want to give us a quick call here. I'm Jeremy Sampson filling in today for Earl Robinson. Toll free if you're outside the 517 area code, 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. A lot going on campus this week, of course, and there will continue to be a lot of things going on this weekend. You've got the Big Ten Championship game in Indianapolis between Wisconsin and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Winner, of course, goes to the Rose Bowl. I think the conference is maybe hoping that Nebraska goes. You've got a team with a little bit better record that would put some shine on an otherwise disappointing season for the Big Ten. Of course, if Ohio State were eligible for postseason play, I think the conference would look a lot better. But they're not, so the conference will have a champion coming up on Saturday night, and we'll find out who's going to the Rose Bowl. And then once that happens, the trickle-down effect starts to happen Sunday morning, Sunday early afternoon, when the rest of the bowl slots begin to get filled. And I would expect an announcement from Michigan State University at some point on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening as to where they're going for their bowl game. If you were to ask me to guess right now, I think the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl in Tempe is the most likely spot for them to land, but there is still a chance they could end up in the Gator Bowl, depending on what happens in that Big Ten Championship game coming up on Saturday. But Tempe, Arizona is certainly their most likely destination. All right, we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
Bits of Obamacare are gradually taking effect, but what does that mean for you as a patient? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday as we map out the milestones. Critics of the Affordable Care Act are forecasting doctor shortages, higher premiums. Any truth to that? It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
All right, that was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
It'll be mostly cloudy today, and we could get some light rain, too, the high in the mid-40s. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low in the low 30s. Partly sunny and a high of 54 tomorrow. Windy and rain likely on Sunday with a slight chance of thunderstorms and a high in the upper 50s. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thanks very much, Scott. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. In today for Earl Robinson, who has an extended weekend. We want to wish him the best. He'll be back in the locker room, as he likes to say, on Monday, and he will be joining you at 1 o'clock for more sports talk. We want to remind you that coming up a little bit later in today's show, about 1:40, we'll talk with Michigan State hockey coach Tom Anastas and get his view on his Spartans as they get ready to face off against the Ohio State Buckeyes this weekend for a pair of games at Munn Ice Arena. The first one tonight at 8 p.m. You can see that on the Big Ten Network. Saturday night's game will face off at 6 o'clock, and you'll be able to see that game on Comcast here locally in the mid-Michigan area. But for right now, we're going to talk a little bit of college basketball, and we want to welcome in Mike DeCourcy, who's joining us this afternoon. Mike, of course, the very accomplished college basketball writer from the Sporting News. And Mike, it's been a little bit, been a little while since we've talked, and I think I sent you a message, but haven't talked to you since. Want to say congratulations again on the Hall of Fame induction from the college basketball writers. That's certainly a worthy honor, and I know something you're proud of.
Very much so, and it's always nice to have people keep reminding me. It's been a year now since I was selected, and about 6 months since I was inducted. But if you want to keep bringing it up, I'm fine with it.
Well, I think that kind of goes with your credentials. I mean, when we introduce you, we obviously know how much or how long you've written and done a lot of college basketball stuff. But I always think that's nice to bring up. It's a great accomplishment anybody who's inducted into a Hall of Fame. But let's get right into it for a couple minutes. And if you had a chance to see any of the Michigan State Miami game, and I don't know if you did or not, just kind of your impressions of the Spartans, or maybe a couple games that you've seen of them so far this season.
Well, I got a chance to see them play in person in Atlanta, and that was perhaps their best night of the year to this point.
For sure, yeah.
They played very well against Kansas, and Kansas is a very good team. And what the Spartans showed that night is that they're capable of playing with just about anyone in the country, and they just have to find the right formula and play at their best. And they're still struggling and wrestling with it a little bit. I think you're seeing, Tom coming to the realization that Adrian Payne as a power forward just isn't quite working. They're not as quick with that alignment. They're not as mobile. They're not as good defensively. Not because Adrian isn't a fine defensive player, but he's a fine post defender. And you don't get a lot of teams in college basketball that play two posts now. A lot more teams are trending toward playing with with what they call a stretch four now. If you can find one of those guys, you've got something special, because he can take your bigger defender out to the wing and force him to guard where he's not comfortable guarding. So that's something, that's a reality that Tom has to cope with. The problem is, for Michigan State, is that although they can get quicker and more agile by taking out Adrian, they don't really have that face-up four-man as much. So they're going to have to sacrifice a little bit of size, or they're going to perhaps, they'll be, like I said, if they play Brandon Dawson at that spot, they become quicker and more dynamic. But Brandon is not, and Brandon can drive it, but he's not really a shooter.
Right.
So what does that do to your offense? So there are some tricky things there. And, of course, you've got Keith Appling struggling a little bit at the point. I think he's doing fine. And I just think having Draymond play next to him last year was such a crutch. It took so much of the playmaking load off of Keith. It's almost like he's having to learn the position again all over.
Well, and he looks a little bit worn down to me because of the injury to Travis Trice and also to Gary Harris. That kind of forced him into playing a couple games where he wasn't coming out of the ball game. So to me, he looks a little bit worn down at this point. With those guys coming back into the fold, I think that will certainly kind of give him a little bit of a rest here and there. He's still a guy who's going to play 35 to 38 minutes a game, but being able to give him a little bit of a rest, I know, will be helpful for him. Yeah, Mike, when I look at this team, the two staples that Michigan State has always been built on since Tom Izzo has been here has been defense and rebounding. Going into that Miami game, they were still out rebounding their opponents by almost 9 rebounds a game. But defensively, we saw some glaring holes. And I know part of that had to do with Payne playing at the four, but I think overall, when I look at this team defensively, I haven't seen that lockdown defense that I've seen from Michigan State teams in the past, if you see the same thing.
I think that's probably fair, but I would say that a couple elements of that. One, you have Brandon Dotson coming off an injury. Two, you had the problem you mentioned with the lineup not quite working. And three, you have in Valentine and Harris some players who are just learning to defend at this level. And it's not unprecedented, but it's close to that. To have a guy come in as a freshman and become a high-level defender by his sixth or seventh game. It just almost never happens. It happened with Indiana, with Yogi Ferrell, but it just doesn't happen that often. So the idea that Gary, especially with the injury, the idea that Gary would take a few games to round into what he needs to see defensively, Valentine as well, I don't think that's a problem. I mean, here's the neat little thing for Michigan State that hardly anybody's talking about is that now that they're through with that Miami game, you know, Tom gets a lot of credit for playing brutal schedules, and boy, he's played some of the most brutal ever, but this one's not that bad.
Right.
I mean, they went through a reasonably tough stretch for the start of the season, made it a little bit tougher maybe than it needed to be by not playing well in Germany, but it gets really easy now, and I think that's good for this team, perhaps as much as any team he's ever had. I think the stretch of games they're about to go through really helps them. If these guys will take these games for what they are, which is an opportunity to figure out how to play, so that when you know, it's sort of like you play the par three course before you go out and you try to play, one of the great courses. That's what this is. I mean, they're going to have brutal challenges in the Big Ten, but by playing these games and taking them seriously and using them for what they are, I think the Michigan State can be ready to be a first division team when they get to January.
Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Mike, with the Big Ten being as deep as it is, do you think at this point Michigan State is a team that could challenge for a Big Ten championship again this year?
That's going to be very challenging. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but if you've seen Michigan and in particular Indiana this week, I mean, I will say this, their ceilings, I don't have any discomfort saying that their ceilings are both substantially higher than what Michigan State's is. But, you know, what Michigan State can do is, you know, drag those guys down a little bit. I mean, that's what, you know, and when I say that, I don't mean into the gutter. I just mean from A-plus to A or A-minus. I mean, I think that's what you as Michigan State have to do. You have to take your shot at maybe, you know, if they look like teams that could go 16-2, 15-3, you know, you've got to take your shot at turning them into 14-4 teams, which may be a number you can, on your best shot you can get to. I don't think that this Michigan State team can do 15-3. I think that Indiana could. They might even be able to do 16-2. So that's the challenge. And I think it's going to be hard to win the league for Michigan State. But look, in this league, in this year, you go back to 2011, when the Big East was so loaded.
Right.
And I'm not saying this is where Michigan State's headed, but UConn was 9-9 in their league, and they won the national championship. So I think Michigan State will considerably outperform 9-9, but I'm just saying that you don't have to win the league in this year, in this league, to be a great team.
And this league is as deep and as strong. I mean, you've been covering it for a while, and I know people can watch you on the Big Ten Network as well. So you have a real up-close and personal look at the conference in and of itself. But this is as deep. I mean, when you look at teams, and I know Illinois hasn't played, you know, too many tough games, but they're still undefeated at this point. I was just so impressed every time that I watch Indiana play. Michigan, of course, has been as good as advertised. Nobody's talking at all about Minnesota. And I think that could be really a dark horse team in the league this year.
Yeah, I think you're right on all those. Now, Iowa, a little bit of a letdown for the league with their performance against Virginia Tech. I think you look at the Wisconsin is sort of struggling to find itself a little bit right now, and they have some things that they have to figure out offensively to be really good. So those are a little bit of a concern for the league. But as you said, Minnesota has been great. Northwestern has been fine at losing the game that they lost to Maryland. They were mismatched a bit in the challenge. You try to go 1-1, 2-2. I mean, that one was one of those where you took the seventh or eighth team in the Big Ten and played them against the third or fourth team in the ACC. So that was a tough assignment for the Wildcats. I don't think that should be taken as an indication that they don't have it. So I think I think the league still has great promise, and with the way that Duke played down at Ohio State, with the fact that MSU took out Kansas on a neutral floor, with the fact that both Michigan and Indiana look really imposing, I think the league is it may not be quite to this point the direction we expected in terms of exactly where the greatness is coming from. But I think we're still seeing that kind of excellence all the way through the league.
College basketball writer Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News joining us for a couple minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Mike, before I let you go, I want to point or ask you a couple things about a couple of the young Michigan State players. And one, I want to talk about Denzel Valentine. I know you brought him up a little bit with Gary Harris. We had the opportunity locally to watch him here extensively in high school for 3 years. From what you've seen of him, he's a guy who loves to give. He loves to pass the basketball. Sometimes, though, as Tom Izzo says, he likes to try and hit the home run, make the fancy no-look Magic Johnson pass instead of making the safe and easy pass, and that's something that he's going to learn. But his skill set with the amount of positions that he can play on the floor has got to be somewhat of a benefit for Tom when he can kind of settle down a little bit and get his feel for his role for this team.
Yeah, Denzel is a player I did not see in high school, so he's been a complete revelation to me. But he has considerable talent. He is a terrific find for the Spartans. What players like that who can invent great things have to learn is that you don't do that when there's a routine play available that's going to work. You do that when there's nothing else, and wow, you can do that out of a desperate circumstance. That's when you make that play. When you're looking at turning it over, if you make the routine play or something like that, and then you can come up with something fantastic, do it. But don't turn what should be two easy points into a turnover. That's what he has to learn. It's just part of growing up as a basketball player, and it's what great coaches like Tom teach players all the time. But believe me, it's a lot better to have to coach a player out of some of the fantastic things he can do than to try to turn him into a fantastic player. It's a lot easier for a player to learn how to play. And I think he's going to be fine. I remember, I guess it was 2010 or 2011, when Jordan Crawford was a player at Xavier. And midway through that year, you'd watch him play, and he'd do, you know, there are some players who do five great things and then one bad thing that makes you, you know, forget the. But he would do five bad things for every five great things.
Sure.
And then by the end of the year, he was one of the best players in college basketball and helped Xavier get to the Sweet 16. Well, it was 2010 because they nearly made the Elite Eight against Kansas State. That's what he can do. That's what Denzel Valentine can do. He can. You know, there may be times when he really undermines your confidence and frustrates you, but he'll learn and he'll become a really terrific player. And because he's such a creative player, even if he doesn't take Keith away from playing the point, in the same way that Draymond took playmaking pressure off of Keith, he can do that. And I think that's why he becomes an extremely important player to this particular Spartans team.
Well, and he's the son of a coach. You know, his dad's a coach here locally. His dad played at Michigan State. If you ever get a chance, I don't know if you've ever met Carlton, but if you ever get a chance, a great basketball mind. Of course, his older son, Drew, is at Oakland, and those two had a chance to kind of face off here at the Breslin Center. A little bit of a family affair, so that was fun as well. One quick thought before I let you go, and that's on Gary Harris. We saw before the injury just how dynamic this young man is. Not too many freshmen, as you know, come to Michigan State and make an immediate impact. But he's somebody who really did that before the shoulder injury.
Yeah, see, that Gary is a mature player. He has a mature game. He understands how to play. He understands how to find his scoring spots. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's already a terrific college basketball player when he's 100%, and he'll become a great, great player when he learns how to defend at the college level. And again, as I said before, and not that he's bad now. He's doing really well for a freshman. But I think he's got elite defensive ability in him. And he's already a high-level offensive player. That's just a question of maturity. They're playing probably more young players than they have in a while. So just,
for sure.
But they're really talented. So it just they just need a little patience. They're going to be an excellent team in the Big Ten. I have no doubt about that. As I said, and maybe they don't finish any higher than third, but third place in this league in this year is going to be a fantastic season and will set them up really nicely to do well in March.
Well, patience is something that a lot of Liverpool fans around the world are trying to have, and as I know, you and I are trying to have that as well. We follow a little soccer as well. So, Mike, we certainly appreciate your insight here into Big Ten basketball. We look forward to seeing you on the Big Ten Network a little bit, reading more of your writing in the, throughout everything that that you have going on with the sporting news. And again, we appreciate a couple minutes today.
Jeremy, I one thing I will say is the Spartans fans won't have to have as much patience as you and I do with Liverpool. If you're buying a iPad for your as a Christmas present for a loved one, load it up with the Sporting News free iPad app before you give it to them. The best deal in sports media, free daily download. A national sports section every day, and it through the App Store, you get that for free. It's a great deal. And by the way, I will be on BTN tomorrow doing some halftimes of our various games on the network tomorrow afternoon, so looking forward to that.
Great. Can you get those apps on your phone as well?
I think that's coming.
Okay.
The iPad, it's a spectacular product. It's customizable. You can put the Spartans and Big Ten basketball or college basketball, I should say, and so all those things are easily accessible. It's a really neat deal if you have an iPad.
Good deal. Well, Mike, thanks again. We appreciate your time today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great, Jeremy. Thank you.
All right, Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News giving us his insight into college basketball and, some good things to hear if you're a Michigan State fan. And I know a lot of people did not like the performance at Miami. It certainly wasn't one of their better performances of the year. The team did look a little tired, a little worn down. But as Mike mentioned, the schedule gets a lot easier here before they get ready to go into Big Ten play. They do have the game with Texas, which in other years would look a little more daunting, but Texas is not the Texas teams that maybe we are used to seeing a little bit. So some interesting thoughts there from Mike on the league. And I, you know, watching Indiana, the other night just destroy North Carolina was something to behold. I was interested to hear that. You know, and it kind of, I think when people look at it, they think, okay, the Big Ten looks like Indiana, Michigan is just behind, and then there's kind of, you know, three or four other teams that might be able to get to those top two. But it sounded, you know, in listening to him, that he kind of was putting Michigan right alongside Indiana and looking obviously at those two as the two contenders this year in the Big Ten. All right, we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Where do you go to see evidence of climate change? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for our view of the documentary Chasing Ice. Plus, the Sci-Fi Book Club has the right stuff Join us and General Chuck Yeager for a look back at the Tom Wolfe Classic. That's all on Science Friday from NPR.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Mostly cloudy and maybe light rain with a high today of 44. Mostly cloudy with a low of 31 tonight. Partly sunny tomorrow, we'll get to 54 for a high. Windy with rain likely Sunday, maybe thunderstorms. Sunday's high 58.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson in for Earl Robinson today. And we're going to switch gears here quickly from college basketball and talk a little college hockey. The head coach of the Spartans, Tom Anastas, joining us for a couple minutes this afternoon. Good afternoon, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. We appreciate you joining us on a game day. I know that's not always easy, but we do appreciate a couple minutes. Coming off last weekend where you didn't play, I know some of the guys had some time off. What are your kind of expectations as the Spartans get ready to get back on the ice tonight against the Buckeyes?
Well, you know, the good part of the layoff was that it gave a few guys who had some injuries time to recover, and the good news is that we're healthy. And all the guys that are healthy enough to play are able to, so that's good. After that, I guess we'll have to wait and see. The layoff isn't something that, you know, we would have preferred. It's just quirk in the schedule and how it worked out, and so we'll have to deal with it. And I will say that Monday the guys looked pretty ragged coming back off the layoff. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I thought we had real good practices. And so I'm kind of anxious to see myself how we respond, especially in the first period tonight.
Well, and I know so far this season, Friday nights have not been as kind to your team as Saturday nights. How much have you talked about that going in this week to make sure that your team's kind of at its best tonight when they need to, when that puck drops in the first period?
Well, you know, I haven't spent a whole lot of time really talking about the different nights. I think, I don't really want to make it a head game. But we have talked about every time you step on the ice, you got to be ready to play, and particularly at home. We came off a real good emotional win last time we played at home. We had just a terrific crowd. And, you know, while we're trying to build our team, we're trying to reestablish and rebuild our program to, you know, nationally prominent level. And so the crowd plays a big role in the success of your team and the type of environment that you can create a home ice and advantage. So we know we play a bigger part in that to make sure we're giving them lots to get energized about. So we've got to go out there tonight when the puck drops and be ready to jump and be physical and play hard.
And I know an important thing that some of the student-athletes have going on this weekend is you've got your annual food drive. If you can kind of tell the listeners what's going on with that and how they can help out.
Well, they can help out by when they come to the game tonight, there will be bins around the rink where they can actually give non-perishable canned foods and leave them here. And, you know, our players really have taken the initiative to lead that, and they take great pride in all the community outreach that they do. And this is another program that was started actually 4 years ago, I think, by Tori Krug and Chris Florfile when they were freshmen. So I know they take a lot of pride in it. They've worked real hard at it, and they really appreciate people taking time to give back, particularly heading into the holidays.
You've also had a lot of contribution this year so far from Matt Berry. If you can kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, his growth, and obviously he's had the hot scoring hand for you early in this season.
Yeah, you know, he has, and Matt is a goal scorer. He's a very skilled offensive player, and, you know, as a freshman, he certainly showed flashes of that, and, you know, we felt that, you know, he has the potential to really emerge as an elite player at our level, and he has to just make sure he's working hard every day to be able to do that. Sometimes when you have the kind of skill level that he does, you can sometimes kind of take it for granted and not push yourself to, you know, kind of really raise your level. And so I think he's finding, and he's been working real hard, very consistently, and now he's finding that kind of commitment pays off. So I think that as long as he stays that course, that will be a real bright spot for us. And you know, we certainly need it, because you know, right now we need some guys to emerge from the offensive side, and he certainly can be a catalyst for that.
And we talked to you a little bit, you know, from week to week about, you know, looking for the right scoring combinations from this and that. And, you know, how much are you set at this point in the season where you've had some time to watch these guys play on the line combinations that you have? Or at some point, are you looking at making some changes just to try and find to see if maybe another pair, another threesome might work a little bit better together?
Well, you know, we've been pretty happy with the Blau, Barry, Darnell line. They have been producing pretty consistently from the offensive side, and we'd like to continue to see that evolve. The other lines, you know, they've been kind of affected by some different things, really. Like, we've had some injuries. I thought the Hayes Forfar tandem, and then we've had different people playing with them. In fact, a while ago, Ryan Keller was really emerging on that line, and we thought we found a nice mix. And then he goes down with a shoulder injury, and he was out. So he's back now, and we'll see that line kind of regroup together. But then Lee Reimer, I tell you, he's playing. He had a pretty good weekend last week and took a bad penalty, and as a result of it, got a game disqualification for a check from behind. So he's out tonight. So we've had to move somebody else into that spot on that line. So we haven't had a chance on a consistent basis to have everybody healthy and in the lineup where we can build that kind of continuity throughout the entire lineup. So I think we're still in search of that at this stage.
Michigan State hockey coach Tom Manassas joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. His Spartans with two home games this weekend, one tonight at 8 o'clock, Saturday night at 6 o'clock, both against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Tom, you've gotten some pretty good play in net from both Will Yanikeff and Jake Hildebrand. You know, Jake, the freshman, has come in. I think that he's shown that he's certainly capable of playing at this level. Well, what are your thoughts on those two guys as you've kind of hit maybe the one-third point of the season here?
Well, I agree with you exactly with what you said. Both guys are very capable, and we're confident in both guys. And we didn't really know what to expect from Jake. We knew long-term he was going to be a real good college goaltender. And, you know, as he's gotten opportunity, he's really stepped up to that opportunity and performed real well. So, you know, last week he ended up playing both games for us, and you know, he's going to get the start for us tonight. He'll play again. He's put us in a situation where, boy, it's tough to take him out of the net with the way he's playing, and that's nothing against Will, because I think Will played very well this season as well. So it's good to have this issue in goal, to know that either way you turn, both guys, you have lots of confidence in.
Is that a difficult situation as a coach? I mean, I know both guys want to play. You can only play one guy. So it's, you know, the individual who's not playing, I guess it's up to them to react the right way, do the right things, in, you know, during the game in practice, help his teammates and get themselves ready to go if called upon. And I know those situations can sometimes be tough depending on how the individuals react to it.
Well, you're absolutely right, and you know, we spend a fair bit of time with Mike Gilmore, our goaltender coach. He spends a lot of time with both of those guys, and Nate Phillips, our other goalie. We carry three, and you know, it's one of those situations where guys are competing for time, and at the same time, you know, as part of the role, you have to support one another, and probably a lot like a quarterback does, or you know, even in other positions. Oftentimes, people don't realize it, but there are guys competing for time. Whether you're a right winger, center, or defenseman, or whatever, and yet at the same time you have to be supportive to help the team try to achieve its goals. So that dynamic of creating competition amongst the goalies is an important one. I'd rather have that than just have all your eggs in a basket where you know, one guy is the only guy you have, and if he goes down with an injury or he goes through a bad spell, you have no other option.
Sure.
And some teams do that, but I think we're real fortunate because our goaltending situation looks like it's really evolving into a very competitive yet supportive dynamic that gives us the best of both.
Tom, a couple more things and we'll let you go. The first one is, you mentioned the atmosphere during the Michigan game, and it was outstanding. how much do you contribute that to the A-team and the students and what they've really kind of raised the level of their play, if you will, and the energy that they've brought to the building each and every night?
Well, I attribute most of it to them, really, because I know when I came back to take this role, and it's been a real focal point for us to try to get Munarena back to a level where it's sold out every night and there's great energy, which will produce, you know, a real home ice advantage in helping our team win. And the first place we wanted to start was with the students, and the students have really embraced it. They really raised the energy level, and they've been the catalyst to doing so. So we're so appreciative of the energy that they bring to the game every night. Our players very much recognize it and notice it during the course of the game. So we want that energy level and even the size of it to continue to grow, because I think the rest of the crowd, in addition to our players, feed off of the energy that they bring.
I know you told Tim earlier this morning that you were doing some recruiting today, and I think people don't really understand what hockey recruiting is like, and we may need a whole hour show to go through that whole process. But recruiting for hockey is really so much different than recruiting for football or basketball or even a baseball or a golf, per se, just because of the numbers of kids and where they're located. And then you have the dynamic of whether or not some of them are going to turn pro, and for a lot of them, you know, it's not a decision of what school do I want to go to. It's trying to get them to go to college in the first place, isn't it?
Yes, you're right on. It is very complicated compared to other sports, and maybe there might be some similarities with baseball, where kids could actually be drafted before they show up on campus, or they're drafted while they're here, and you're trying to work to facilitate them or get them here. But we do have some very unusual dynamics, and you mentioned especially the two big ones, which is one, pro hockey is a factor for sure, and the other is, junior hockey, Canadian junior hockey, we're recruiting directly against them, and they have no rules that they're governed by to be able to reach out to kids when they're real young. So it presents some real challenging dynamics for us, but it's the environment that we have to work within and try to figure out. And but it's an ongoing, 12-month-a-year process. And we're fortunate this week or this weekend, there's a large contingent of amateur teams that are in town to play a very competitive tournament that many of the teams will have lots of kids that will ultimately play in college hockey. So it's nice that it's right under our noses, and many of these kids have had a chance to buy tickets with their families and their teams to come to our games tonight and tomorrow. So it's really a nice benefit for us.
Tom, one last thing before I let you go. There's a good chance this weekend that Jerry York will go past Ron Mason for most career wins in college hockey. I know it's been, 11 years or so since Ron stepped down. And I know at the time he thought maybe Jerry had a chance of eclipsing that mark because, he was still young enough and was going to still keep going. I know that's always a record that Ron's been very proud of. Michigan State's been very proud of. But Jerry York and Ron are good friends. And I know it'll be somewhat of a mixed emotions if and when Jerry's able to eclipse that mark this weekend.
Yeah, it will, because I will tell you, when Ron retired, I thought that was an untouchable number. I really did. And yet, when you look at Jerry York's career, it's been remarkable and continues to be. And I know he's one of the finest gentlemen in the game. And people love the way his teams play with skill and speed and size. And they've been, nationally competitive every year since he's been at BC. And so, records, I guess, are made to be broken, as they say. And so while we have mixed emotions on it, we'll draw more attention to our sport. Certainly Ron Mason won an awful lot of games here, and is always going to be in that upper echelon of people. I don't know. Maybe Jack Parker might be able to get to him if Jack stays with it a couple more years.
Yep.
I think that's a possibility. But between them and the rest of the group, I think there's a fair distance. So we'll have to wait and see. I, I figured I have to coach till I'm about 96 to hit that record.
I'd love to see it if we can make it happen.
Yeah, it'd be ugly, wouldn't it?
I'd love to see it.
I have to live to 96.
Yeah, we all would. Thanks so much for a couple minutes today. I know you've got a lot going on with the game tonight. We wish you the best of luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, Tom Manassas, the Michigan State head hockey coach, sharing a few thoughts with us. Of course, they've got a big series this weekend with the Ohio State Buckeyes. 8 o'clock tonight. 6 o'clock on Saturday, and don't forget those non-perishable food items that the student athletes will be collecting for their annual food drive. And they've been going through the neighborhoods a little bit, trying to collect some things. And of course, they will have those canisters there tonight for you to be able to drop those in if you're going to the hockey game. You know, he brought up some interesting comments about his goaltenders, and you know, Alex, you tend to go in hockey with the hot hand. I mean, and that's really what Jake Hildebrand has brought. And actually, Will Yanikeff has gone through that on the other side during his career. He was the backup, started playing well. It was tough to get him out of the net. So I know he doesn't like it, but I know it's something that he understands. And it's probably the most asked question that Tom gets every day is, who's going to be your starting goalie?
Right.
And it is such an important position, but I'm always interested in watching the dynamic between the two and how the guy who's not playing acts, because I think that's more important than the other way around.
Absolutely. Great point, because alongside with hockey, yeah, you want to go with who has the hot hand. Very true with other sports. You know, you acquire two quarterbacks with Tim Tebow, and then you have Mark Sanchez. It's interesting to see how that dynamic would have worked out.
Yeah, that one hasn't worked out very well so far,
to say the
has
least.
It?
With all the news, you know, the headings in the papers about, you know, get rid of Tebow, bye-bye Jets. But, you know, on the other side of it, you're right. I mean, is the right coaching decision here, Jeremy, to stick with one goalie, you know, even though on some nights he may not be on his game?
Well, I think the right decision is the one that Tom's making right now, and you have to go with the guy who gives you the best chance to win. It doesn't matter if he started the year as a starter, if he's a senior, a sophomore, a junior, a freshman. It does not matter. I mean, you have to play the guy that gives you the best chance to win. You know, to quote Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. And the only way you're going to do that is by playing the guy who gives you the best chance to win. Now, I also like the way, though, that he has two guys who can play, so that in the case that there is an injury or something happens to the starter, you have somebody who can come in and do some work. Michigan State, you know, didn't always have that. I covered the team, and I couldn't even tell you who the backup was to Ryan Miller. It didn't matter. I could have backed up Ryan Miller. I wasn't getting in the game, you know, any more than the guy who was sitting on the bench. It just wasn't going to happen. So I like the fact that there are two guys there. And again, for his program where it is right now, competition is going to breed good competition, and it's going to breed guys getting better. And I think that's what he's looking at right now. So it should be a fun weekend of hockey. The atmosphere, I don't know if you were there for the Michigan game, but the atmosphere at Munn was back to the atmosphere I remember when I was in school here in the late 90s. It was loud. And it helped that Michigan State scored less than a minute into the game. It really got everybody into the game. May have been totally different had Michigan scored a minute into the game. But Michigan State scored. Everybody got into it. And I think you'll hear something along those same lines this weekend. I hear they almost have a sellout. But I know that there are still some tickets available for that. All right, Alex, excellent job on that side of the glass today. I want to thank you as well. I want to say thank you to Tom Anastas, head coach of Michigan State Hockey, for joining us for a couple minutes. The Hall of Famer, as I like to call him. I don't think he likes me reminding him of that. I think he feels old when I do that. But Mike DeCourcy, the excellent college basketball writer from the Sporting News, joined us as well. Earl will be back 1 o'clock on Monday. He'll be back in the locker room, as he likes to say, and he'll be taking care of you here on Sports Talk on AM 870. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. We thank you for listening today and hope you'll join Earl again next month. From Michigan State University, this has been AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.